So if we can have the kids come up, we'll do something completely different. Because I'm here. And today we're going to be in Exodus 10, and we're going to read 3 through 6 and 12 through 20. So if anybody would like to turn there. All right, we'll try to do this right. So let's go through the review of last week. What was the seventh plague? That's right. Large stones of hail and fire that fell from the sky. Did God's people suffer the same judgment as the Egyptians? No, they didn't. The Lord kindly protected his people from the plagues because he loved them. He loves us. That's wild, isn't it? Okay, let's go into the questions for this week. What was the eighth plague the Lord sent to the Egyptians? What did Pharaoh confess to Moses and Aaron? That's cool. What happened to Pharaoh's heart after the locust left? All right, let's start with 10:3. Exodus 10:3. So Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go that they may serve me. Or else, if you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I will bring locusts into your territory, and they shall cover the face of the earth so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of what is left from the hail, and they shall eat every tree which grows up for you out of the fields." They shall fill your house and houses of all your servants and the house of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were on the earth to this day. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Now 12 through 20. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the land of Egypt, and the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, all that the hail has left." So Moses stretched out his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night. When it was morning, the east wind had brought the locusts, and the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all the territory of Egypt. They were very severe. Previously there had been no such locust as they, and nor shall there be such after them. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they ate every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. So there remained nothing green on the trees or on the plants of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron in haste and said, "I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore please forgive my sin only this once and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only." So he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord, and the Lord turned a very strong west wind, which took the locusts away and blew them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the territory of Egypt, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and did not let the children of Israel go. So the Lord sent an army of locusts against Egypt, but Pharaoh did not humble himself and was not sorry for his sin. So, what was the eighth plague? That's right, swarms of locusts, which are a kind of grasshopper. Everybody know what a locust is? Grasshopper with wings. they would eat up all the crops that the hail has left. If anybody's ever seen a plague like that, they'll come in and they'll strip all the plants from the ground, everything. It's pretty nasty. What did Pharaoh confess to Moses and Aaron? He confessed that he had sinned against the Lord and against them. He also asked them to pray that the Lord would take away the plague, confessed that the Lord was more powerful than his false Egyptian gods. What happened to Pharaoh's heart after the locusts left? The Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and Pharaoh refused to let Israel go. Despite his confession, he was still not sorry for his sin. That's the big thing right there. He confessed, but he was still not sorry. Throughout the world's history, mighty kings have overthrown nations and empires by using great and terrible armies. These armies could number tens of thousands, even hundreds of thousands of troops. They would invade cities and strip them of their goods. They would defeat opposing kings and demand that these kings surrender to them. If the enemy king refused to surrender, the armies would continue to attack and defeat the king. The kings often were destroyed. His stubbornness would be his own death sentence. Yet many kings were too proud to surrender. That's being in a bad spot where you're too proud to give up anything. It's horrible. So they would prefer to die rather than to humble themselves. In the eighth plague, the Lord sent a mighty army against the Egyptians. And that army was what? Locusts. So that's kind of makes fun of us humans. We use men, armies, we use guns, we use weapons, we use all this stuff. And what does God use? Bugs. That is just wild. Let's see. But it wasn't an army of men with swords and shields. It was an army of locusts, which are grasshoppers that have wings. Countless locusts covered the sky and the land like thick clouds. They gobbled up the crops of Egypt, leaving the Egyptians without food for the future. Joel 2:11, the Lord gives voice before the armies, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can endure it? Pharaoh was helpless before the locust army, but he refused to humble himself. He was too proud to surrender to God, the King of Heaven. Sure, he confessed that he had sinned, but Pharaoh's confession was not real because it was not joined with being sorry for his sin. It was not enough just to say that he was sorry for his sin. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't really mean that. Have you ever heard anybody say that? And they're you know they're just lying to you. We must give up our sin, turn our backs to it, and try hard to walk away in obedience to God's command through God's help. This is called repentance. So repentance is a kind of an odd word. What does it really mean? It means to turn away to from our sins. That's correct. What does that really look like, though? How do we turn away from our sin? You confess, that's right, and then you turn away. So what I have to do is if I have a thought of something, I want to eat that whole cake. So I'll take that thought, and I'll say, God, this isn't for me, this is for you. So I give that thought to God. And when I give that thought to God, I start thinking of God. think of a scripture, think of something that is godly. And me having an attention span of a banana, that takes that attention from that sin, from that cake, and puts it back on Christ where it needs to be. So that takes that sin away. That helps me to turn my back on that sin. Earlier in Exodus, Pharaoh had humbled the Israelites by forcing them to work as slaves. Now God had humbled Pharaoh, showing him what he would suffer and the consequences of a sin. Pharaoh would learn the hard way that pride comes before destruction. God resists the proud and shows grace to the humble. When God shows us sin in our lives, what should we not do? That's right. We should not act like a hypocrite. Do we know what a hypocrite is? It's somebody that says one thing and does another thing. So if we say that we're sorry for our sins, we need to actually be sorry for our sins. Does that mean that we continue to do our sin? No. We give our sin to God, so we don't do that. So when somebody sees our lives, they don't see a hypocrite. They don't see somebody that says, you don't sin, but they turn around and sin. We're not that way. We're God's children, so we do according to God's will. When God shows us the sin in our lives, what should we do? Turn away from it. We always turn away from that sin. We repent. We should humble ourselves, confess our sin, and turn from them with our whole heart and give that to God. Can we repent from sin without God's help? No. I like that answer. God is sovereign over our hearts. We are not sovereign over our own hearts. That's kind of an odd deal. In other words, we're not in control over our hearts. Only God is. We can try to be in control of it, but we'll fail miserably. And so, here again, we give our sin to God. We give our heart to God. We're giving something to God that God already has. He has our heart. But we physically, or mentally, we give that up to Him. This week, let's be in prayer that the Lord would give each of us grace to humble ourselves before Him and to not be a hypocrite. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You for this wonderful lesson. Father, we just ask that You just be with each of us. Help us not to sin against You, Father. Help us to always show You in all that we do, all that we say, and all that we are, Father. Father, we love You and praise You and thank You. And it's in Jesus Christ's name I pray.